Invite your attention to the book of James. James chapter number 5. Praise God. Book of James chapter number 5. And I want to read beginning with verse 14. James chapter number 5 and verse 14. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them, everybody say them, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want to use this just as a launching pad here this morning and preach what I feel that the Lord has prompted us to preach. I want to preach, no one can pray like you can pray. No one can pray like you can pray. Now, I want you to hold on before you pass judgment on this sermon and just let me preach a little bit, but no one can pray like you can pray. Let's lift up our hands and our voices to God and let's pray for his anointing. We really do need his anointing in this house. God, I pray for the touch of your Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be upon us in this service, not just I as the preacher, but this congregation as the hearers. We need anointed ears to hear and to receive the Word of God. And I pray that you would help us here today and strengthen us through your Word, encourage someone through your Word, help someone to realize their need of you here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it. Amen. Let's clap our hands and praise him.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for standing. You may be seated. No one can pray like you can pray. There's absolutely no one here that doesn't need prayer. We know that there's many different aspects of prayer. There's many different avenues and approaches to prayer. There's many things that I could preach about, teach on, talk about here this morning concerning prayer, and all of them are very important. I know that it seems that it's been an emphasis of our teaching and preaching of late to talk about prayer. I'm glad to report that it is recently, it seems like in the last year or so, prayer has really become more of a priority to us as a church than perhaps it had been. And that shows maturity on our part. Not that we weren't praying, but I think that we're praying more effectively now and more consistently now. And I know for prayer to really be effective as it needs to be, it does need to be consistent. It really does. And we need to be very deliberate and planned. And what I mean by that is not necessarily the prayer itself, but there needs to be time that we schedule to come together and pray. Because he did say that this house would be called the house of prayer. He didn't say it be called the house of preaching. He didn't say it be called the house of music. And all of these things play their part. They have their role in what we're attempting to do to reach our city. But can I tell you that the priority around here and what everything needs to start with is old-fashioned Holy Ghost prayer. Prayer is important. I said prayer is important, and it still is the thing that will make the impact that we need to see. I know that programs, none of them will work without prayer. It doesn't matter how good the program is. But can I tell you that with prayer, there's hardly any program that will fail. When we really seek to be sensitive to God and be anointed of God through prayer, there's something about it that God favors and He blesses when people would get into not just casual prayer or mechanical prayer, but really get into the spirit of prayer and allow God to help them and direct them in their prayers. So we all, not one of us is an exception here. We all need prayer and we all need to pray. And I think that's twofold. We all need to have our own prayer life, but we also at times have needed people to pray for us. I don't think there's anybody that would excuse themselves from that statement here this morning that you've needed someone to pray for you at times. No matter if it was a mother or a father that knew how to get a hold of God, maybe it was a saint in the church that knew how to get a hold of God, maybe perhaps it was the pastor that prayed for you or an evangelist or whoever it was in that particular situation and scenario that prayed, God used that prayer to help you. And I'm thankful that God places us on other people's hearts at times and burdens them to pray for us in our various needs. Not only do we need to pray, but we often stand in need of someone to pray for us. And this scripture that I read to you, this text in James, it talks about one of those particular circumstances. And every set of circumstances, and I want you to get this morning, every set of circumstances are different. And according to the Word of God, there's people that can pray in those circumstances like nobody else can pray. James said, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." When someone, a person, an individual is sick, in need of healing, the scripture is very clear as to what is to be done. It said, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. This is a tremendous promise. This is a tremendous promise from the Word of God. So we understand by reading this scripture, and we practice this in this church, we still believe in divine healing. If you're here today and you're sick in your body, I believe in divine healing. I believe what the Word of God says when it talks about anointing folks with oil and the prayer of faith shall raise them up, or the Lord shall raise them up through that prayer of faith. I believe in that kind of thing, and we have many testimonies where God has done that very thing in this congregation. Matter of fact, everybody that's ever been divinely healed of God, why don't you raise your hand and wave it real good? That ought to inspire somebody here that needs a healing's faith this morning. That ought to cause you something to rise up in your spirit and for you to have confidence that God, if He healed them, because He's no respecter of person, if He healed them, then He can heal me. If He worked it out in their life, He can work it out in my life. But can I be so bold as to say that in the case of sickness among the saints of God, in that set of circumstances, that no one can pray like these that the Bible is referring to, these designated, ordained of God, people that it's referring to in the fifth chapter of James. They are chosen by God to pray in that particular situation. Now, is that excluding anybody else from praying? I don't believe that, because right on further down, it says to pray for one another. and that healing could come through that way. But it first of all says, if there be any sick among you, call for the elders of the church, having them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. That's what the scripture says. You might say, well, I know brother so-and-so, and he knows how to pray, and he knows how to touch God, and I know this sister over here, she's a prayer warrior, and so I'm not demeaning the possibilities and the potential of their prayer. But in this particular situation, let me just say that nobody can pray like these that God has ordained to pray in these circumstances. Nobody can pray like they can pray for this particular need. Now, I understand everybody's struggling with that right now, but that's just what the Word of God says. Again, I'm not taking away from someone else praying and someone else that is not necessarily in that office praying the prayer of faith. I believe that there's merit to that. I believe that there's power in that and there's potential in that. But I do believe there's a reason why there is certain priority placed upon this. And I don't believe that anything is in the Scripture by accident. It's all divinely inspired of the Lord. Amen. It's all there for a reason. But in this particular situation, nobody can pray like these that God has chosen to pray. And there's something about it when you're sick. If a real man of God prays for you, there's something about that in that particular situation. Nobody can pray like they can pray. You see, in every set of circumstances, there is someone that can pray for that particular need. It could be the individuals themselves. It could be someone that is spiritually in authority over them. It could be someone that God has placed a burden upon their heart. And maybe they begin to intercede and pray in this particular situation, and God hears and answers that prayer. But I want you to understand, in every set of circumstances, God has someone that can pray for that need. God has someone that can pray for that particular situation. And because they are ordained of God to pray in that particular scenario, nobody can pray for that need quite like they can pray for that need. In Acts chapter 9, the Bible gives us an account of Saul, who would later be called the Apostle Paul. Saul was the infamous persecutor of the New Testament church, and he was very vehement in his desire to totally extinguish the startings of the church. And so everywhere that he heard that Christianity was cropping up, he would go to that place, and with the authority of the government, he would punish them, even in many cases put them to death. We know that it was he that ordered the stoning of Stephen, and he held the coats of the men that hurled the stones, that stoned Stephen. And we understand that in Acts chapter 9, he had letters, and he was going down to Damascus. He had the authority, he had the stamp and the seal of the government to go and to persecute more Christians. That was his intent. And so with his entourage, he was making his way, journeying down to Damascus. And it was there that he saw a great light on that road that blinded him, and he fell from the beast that he was riding on. And he heard a voice that accompanied that light. And it simply said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he made a very profound statement. You got to understand, he was a Jew among Jews. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He understood and was very monotheistic in his belief. He was a one God man, if I could say it that way. He believed that when Messiah come, he would be God manifest in the flesh. But he just did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But he knew that there was something about this voice that was not just a man. It was not just a random occurrence. But revelation came to him. and he made a statement. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Amen. This man that had belief that when God came in the form of Messiah, it would be God manifest in the flesh. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord replied to him and said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And the Bible says, and he trembling and astonished said, suddenly he's realizing who it is that he's been persecuting. He's realizing what it is for all of this time that he's been opposing and he's been against, that he's been actually fighting and resisting the things of God. He suddenly realizes he's been on the wrong team. He's been on the wrong side all along. And Jesus tells him, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Now, this was a saying in that day that they fully understood. When a person was plowing with an ox or with a donkey or any other kind of animal that he would use to plow his field, if that ox or that donkey had a little trouble staying in the traces, and maybe he would kick against the harness, and again, he didn't like plowing. He tried to kick against the work. Then, rather than to allow someone to be hurt, allow someone to be wounded by this animal, to train him, they would sharpen sticks and place them right behind the area where his back hooves were. And when he would kick, he would kick into these sharp sticks, what was called pricks, and they would stick him deeply. And it wasn't long while kicking against this that he would learn that this was not something that he wanted to continue to do. So he said, "Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks." He said, you tried to resist. You tried to fight and ward off, but you got to realize you're on the wrong side of things." And so, with the instruction of the Lord, he blindly continues his journey, led by the men that were with him, down to the city of Damascus. And he was 3 days, the scripture says, without sight. And you know, sometimes it has to get really dark for some people to be willing to seek an answer, for some folks to be willing to turn to God. It has to get real bad for some folks to be willing to pray and willing to humble themselves and willing to cry out to the Lord. And such was the case with Saul. He was fighting against the things of God, but God was getting a hold of him. God was speaking to him and talking to him. And so he was told and directed by God to go to a certain place. He said, "A certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias." He said, "That's where you need to go, Saul. That's the person that you need to see. That's the person that's going to be able to pray for you and tell you what you need to be told concerning the truth." And so he makes his way to where Ananias is. And the Bible says, immediately when Ananias placed his hands upon him, this man of God, and began to pray for him, that the scales that were on Saul's eyes fell off, and he was baptized in the name of the Lord. He was converted, and the truth was preached to him. Can I tell you, in this particular circumstance, he couldn't just go to anybody to get prayer. He had to go to Ananias to get prayer. And I'd like to liken this, that there's sometimes that you need the man of God to pray for you. You need a pastor in your life to pray for you. Can I tell you that there is something about having a connection with a man of God that you can call on when you have a need in your life and say, "You know what, Pastor, I need you to help me to pray for this situation. He said he's a certain disciple. He's a man that I've handpicked for this need and this situation. And he's the one that's going to help you. And when he lays hands upon you and he prays for you, amen, there's something that's going to happen. The scales are going to fall off of your eyes. What are you trying to say? If I was here today, I would want to keep my connection. And I have over the years with a man of God. Have a man of God in my life that I could get to pray for me and help me. Amen. And there's certain things that he can pray about and I can relate to him. I can lay my burdens down and know it's not going any further. I can't tell everything to everybody, but I can tell it to a man of God and he'll keep it between him and God and he'll pray about it. And I know that if he prays, that God's going to hear his prayers. God's going to respond to his cry and God's going to begin to work in that situation.
Careful, you need to be careful that you never break your connection with a man of God in your life. You need to be careful how you handle. You need to keep the proper respect because there may come a day when you need him, amen, to pray and to touch God and intercede for you. It may be a day that you need him to help you with your kids. There may be a day when you need him to pray for your children. And if you've been talking about him and if you've been running him down around the dinner table and you've been having him for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, there's not much effect that he's going to have or much influence that he's going to have concerning your children. But if you have kept that respect and if you've kept that wholesome, that, and I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor. I'm just telling you that there's a concept here that is in the Word of God that man can help you and he can pray for you in certain circumstances like nobody else can pray. Come on, that's scripture. That's in the Word of God. He didn't say just go to Joe Blow's house when you get to Damascus. He didn't say just go to the nearest house and the nearest Christian that you can find when you get to Damascus. He said, I've got a certain disciple. And when you get there, I'm already going to have it dealt with him and talked to him and spoken to his heart. And when he laid eyes on Saul, I want you to notice the statement that he made to it. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord has already been talking to me about you. The rest of those folks were afraid of Saul. This was the mighty persecutor of the church. This was one to be feared. This was one to be afraid of. But God had dealt with the man of God and gave him courage to walk into that room and say not what Saul was at that particular moment, but speak to his potential. Aren't you thankful for preachers that can preach and preach not to what you are, but preach to what you can be? Brother Saul. Amen. God dealt with him and God spoke to him. And in this case, no one could pray like he could pray. Now, I'm winding this down here. In Acts chapter number 12, there was an extreme persecution that broke out upon the church. And the scripture says that people in high authority was behind it. Herod the king, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He wanted to knock out certain people. He knew if you could take the head off, the body would die. If you can go for certain people, and if you can attack certain ones, it'll destroy the rest. If you can get the leader, then the followers will fall with him. And so he hand chose certain ones. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Now you understand that the apostle Peter was a man that God was using. And this was a man that God had already used to preach the day of Pentecost. This is a man that God had used to go down and open the door to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 when he preached to Cornelius. And so it says in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison. It actually looked like the enemy was getting an upper hand. But prayer, everybody say, but prayer. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They gathered together. I don't know how the word got out, but they began to get the word out. Said, you know what? The Apostle Peter is in prison. And we got to pray, because after this feast is over, you know what the plan is. Herod's already put the word out. He's going to take his head off too. He's going to destroy him. He's going to take his life also. And we just can't afford for that to happen. This is our revival preacher, and we need to pray that the Lord would deliver him. And so the church got together at Mary's home, and they began to pray, and they began to seek the face of God until heaven began to hear their prayer. And the Bible said an angel was dispatched down to the jail cell where Peter was, and he was asleep. He was lying there asleep. He wasn't really that concerned about it, because the Lord had already spoke to him and said, you're going to die when you're an old man. He said, I'm not old yet, so I don't have anything to worry. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to, I don't know if when it's going to take place, but I know that Herod's not going to have his way in this situation. But the church got to praying, and an angel came down and said, come on, rise up quickly, gird thyself, put on your sandals, we're getting out of here. And the prison door opened, and then he went to the outer prison door, and it opened. He went to the gate of the city, and he led him out to where the gate of the city was, and he said, go ahead and go free. And he walked over to Mary's house where they were still praying, and he knocked on the door. I'm going to tell you, there's something about a praying church. There's something about folks that know how to get a hold of God. You ask why we're having Monday night prayer meeting? I'll tell you why we're having Monday night prayer meeting. Because I know of no other activity that's more important around the church than for us to pray and to talk to God and to seek the face of God. If our city has hope, if lost souls of this community has hope, if backsliders have hope, if your lost family members have hope, it's going to be because a church gets underneath the burden of prayer that allows the spirit of prayer to get a hold of them and to stir them and to move them deeply. And they cry out to God. This was an urgent situation. There's something about praying with urgency. Come on, there. You know what it is to pray, and you know what it is to have a need and really pray, really touch God, really get down to business. Let the tears flow. Let your heart get in the prayer. Let passion get involved in what's going on. It's not just a, now lay me down to sleep. It's not just some sleepy-eyed prayer that you have memorized. It's not just walking through the church and saying a half a dozen hallelujahs and 24 amens. No. It's getting a hold of God and praying and seeking the face of God in the spirit of prayer and touching heaven and getting results. How many believes that prayer still gets results? How many believes that prayer is still where it's at? How many understands that prayer is still a necessity? You need a church. That's why I've talked about the man of God, but let me talk about the church just a little bit. That's why you need to be careful how you handle the church. I would to God I could talk to every backslider and say, hey, before you criticize, before you knock down, before you dismiss, before you pass judgment, before you point fingers, before you do all of that. Yeah, we're not claiming to be perfect, but those people do know how to pray. And there may be a day down the line when you need folks to pray for you, that you'll need a church that hadn't lost its burden for you, that you'll need people that know how to get down on their knees and intercede for you, that you'll need folks that know how to touch God and get in the spirit of God when it comes to prayer, because there's nobody that can pray like a church full of folks that have the Holy Ghost, that knows how to really touch heaven, that knows how to get beyond the mechanics and knows how to get beyond just the points of prayer, but knows how to get in the spirit of it and let God use them and direct them, and knows how to pierce the darkness and knows how to break through to where the needs are met and lives are changed. There's nothing like a praying church. Nobody can pray like a praying church. You'll need a praying church. I said, you'll need a praying church. Oh, I'm thankful that when there's needs around here, people find themselves facing dreaded sicknesses and disease, that they can call on the church. Hey, keep calling my name before God. Keep reaching out. I'm thankful that when people come down to the altar, heavy burden, and we all have found ourselves there, life and its crushing blows, that when I get down here, I'm not by myself. I'm not praying alone. I'm not just standing here all by myself without anybody to help me, but I got a church that's with me. I got a church that's behind me. I got brothers and sisters in the Lord that they love me and they care about me. Come on, it's more than just passive words that we say when we walk up and shake hands and greet one another, and hug one another's necks and say, I appreciate you. I want you to know I love you, brother. I want you to know I care about you. There's a connection there. You're here, and you're the church. And when you're feeling pain, I'm feeling pain, because we are a part of the same body. Oh, God, that's why I need the connection with the church, because the church can know how to pray for me when I'm in need. I'll be honest, I felt the prayers of this church. I felt the prayers of encouragement and strength, and I felt my spirit bolstered by prayers that have been prayed by people here. I know it does me good, and I know that you feel the same way when you know you got a church. I'm not just standing here in this particular need and point of life by myself, but I've got somebody that is helping me. They're carrying the burden with me. And there's some circumstances that nobody can pray like the church can pray. Nobody can get a hold of God like the church can get a hold of God. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's some needs that nobody can get the attention of God like Holy Ghost-filled folks can. Like a church can that really knows God, that has a revelation of who He is, that knows who they're praying to and the name that they're calling on and the significance and the power, the authority and the impact that is in that name. They understand the potential of getting in the spirit of prayer. Nobody can pray like they can pray. Nobody can pray. You know, when you find yourself locked down, you find your spirit incarcerated. I know it was physical for Simon Peter, but it's all of us has found ourselves. We felt a little bit suppressed, locked in. When darkness seems like was casting its shadow upon us. And we needed a church that knew how to get hold of God, that knew how to shine some light into our situation. I wonder right now if you wouldn't raise your hands and your voices to God. That wouldn't help me pray. Because nobody can pray like you can pray. Nobody can pray like you can pray. Hallelujah. But you know, there's another aspect of this that I want to close with here today. There's some needs that, as much as the pastor loves you, as big a burden as he may have for you, there's some prayers that he can't pray for you. There's some needs that, as much as your fellow church members may care, and as much as they may be connected to you in the church and the fellowship that you may have, they can't pray those prayers for you. There's some situations that God designated elders of the church cannot intervene and necessarily pray that prayer for you. You know, there's some needs that nobody can pray like you can. Nobody can touch God like you can. You know, I've seen mothers. I remember so vividly, and I tell you what, it sometimes touches my emotions even now, 15 years later. There was a boy in a revival. I'll never forget his name. His name was Andy. A revival meeting in Mississippi, preaching for Pastor Mark Copeland. And in that meeting, there was a man, young man, that was coming, and he was involved with some of the young people, but he had a terrible drug addiction, and they told me to go back and try to help him and talk to him. So I went back, and I prayed with him and asked him to come down to the altar. And he was kind, he was respectful, but he didn't come. And it was only just a few days later he was expected to be back to revival. That was on the last night, I believe, of that revival. And then when we started back the next week, on that particular day, he was planning to come. He got off work, went home, and for whatever reason, he turned back to the drugs. And I was praying in the church before service that night, and the ambulance, I heard it go down the road. He just lived within a stone's throw of the church. The pastor came in and said, they want you to come down, and we're going to go pray for him. And at that time, we didn't know that he was already without a vital sign, was already dead. They took him on to the hospital, and we walked into the waiting room in Carthage, Mississippi. And I saw that mother, and she ran, and she fell down in the floor and said, they're going to let you guys go back and pray for him. They say he's dead, but God can raise him from the dead. Would you pray for him, preacher? I remember walking into that room and placing my hands on that cold body, just praying with everything that was within me. But I'll never forget that woman crying and praying and reaching out. I thought, there's nobody can pray for this situation like this mother can pray, because that's her life's blood in there. That's her own that's in there. There's nobody can pray like she could pray. There's nobody could touch God in this situation necessarily like she could. I've seen
it over and over and over again. People pray, and they had the burden of it. They had the intensity of it.
I've seen pastors pray for their city, and I knew that there's nobody that could pray, because they had the call, they had the burden, they had that God-given love for that place. Nobody could pray like they could pray for it. But can I tell you that all of us in this place have a need in our life that only we can pray for. Only we can really pray that prayer that needs to be prayed. The Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter of the Bible, tells us about a rich man that died and went to hell and lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now Lazarus had been the one that had laid at his gate full of sores and begged for the refuse and the trash and the leftovers from the rich man's table. And he saw him, and his sores healed, his body well, and he was now in torment. He said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham let him know quickly that this was an impossibility. There's a great gulf between you and I, and nobody can pass between it. He said, if you're not going to send him to me, send him to my five brethren, lest they also come into this place of torment. Go have him intervene for my five brethren. And Abraham explained that he had Moses, and they had Moses and the prophets, and let them hear him.
He said, no, but if one came from the dead, they would believe. And Abraham said, you don't understand. He, in essence, told him. He said, nobody can pray for your brother's salvation like they can pray for it. Nobody can do their repenting for them. Nobody can bend the knee for them. Nobody can ask God to forgive for them. Nobody can cry out to God like they can for their soul. You know, there's some needs, some situations that only really you can pray that prayer. We can pray that you will pray that prayer. We can pray that conditions would get right, that you would seek God in that manner. But only you can really get a hold of God for that situation. Only you can pray about your soul's salvation. Only you can repent of your sins. Only you can ask God to forgive you. Only you can seek the Holy Ghost. Only you can say, God, lead me and give me greater revelation of truth. And only you can say, God, I'm open. God, I'm yielded. I'm surrendered to you. I can't pray that prayer of surrender for you. I can't pray that prayer of repentance for you. Only you can. Nobody can pray like you can pray. Would you stand to your feet and raise your hands with me? Come on, let's raise our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bible tells us a story that most of us are very familiar with here today. About a lady that had a disease in her body, an issue for 12 long years. She spent all that she had, spent it on physician after physician, but the Bible says that she was nothing better, and it even says this, that she rather grew worse. The condition just kept on progressing. And in her frail, emaciated condition, she heard that Jesus was coming by her village. He was actually headed to another place, to Jairus' house. But the Bible says that she stepped out of that mass of people and press that was around him. People jostling and people trying to get his attention and trying to speak with Jesus and trying to touch Jesus. And many doing so. The Bible tells us that she just touched the hem of his garment. And all of a sudden, Jesus stopped. And he turned and he said, who touched me? The disciples thought it was a ridiculous statement. Who touched you? What do you mean, who touched you? Look at this multitude. Look at this crowd. Look at these people. They're all touching you. They're all trying to get your attention. They're all trying to speak to you. They're all trying to talk to you. They're all trying to get audience with you. What do you mean, who touched you? He said, no, I felt something different about this touch. Virtue left my body. You see, there was a lot of folks touching Jesus, but there was only one that was really making contact with him. There's a lot of people that was brushing up against him and touching him and jostling him in that crowd, but there was only one that really touched him, and really nobody touched him like she touched him. Nobody broke through like she broke through. Nobody got to where he was like she did. No, maybe she did not even have the proximity that others had. She did not have the advantage that others had physically to get to him. But there's one thing that she had the rest of the crowd didn't have. And that's a need in her life that she needed the Lord to address. She had a need in her life that she knew that if it doesn't happen now, I may die with this disease and this problem. And I know it's not getting better by my own abilities or the abilities of others. I need the great physician to help me. And I'm going to touch him at whatever cost, whatever I have to do. I want to tell you today, you can touch him. You can can break through to here, and nobody can touch Jesus like you can touch him if you have a need. If you've got faith in your heart, nobody can touch him like you can touch him. Nobody can pray like you can pray about that need in your life.
I'm looking at various, you know, every person. Brother Stout, he's got his set of circumstances. Sister Evans got her set of circumstances. Brother David's got his set of circumstances. Brother Chad, that's another set of circumstances. Brother Jimmy's got Sister Miranda. Brother Brandon, the dumb guy. There's different circumstances everywhere I look in this building. But I'm telling you, there's always somebody for every circumstance. And I come to preach to you, that person is you. That person is you. Oh, that person is you. I feel the Holy Ghost in that. To tell you that you can break through. You can get a hold of him. You can touch him. And nobody can touch him like you can touch him. Nobody can get a hold of him like you can get a hold of him. Nobody can break through to him like you can break through to him. Oh, is there somebody in this house that wants to make their way to this altar? Is there someone that wants to press through and touch heaven here this morning? Is there somebody who wants to pray and ask God to help me? You see my circumstances, God. You see my circumstances. God, I need to pray about my need here this morning. What I got going on, nobody can pray about it like I can. Nobody can touch you like I can. Nobody can seek you as far as this need's concerned like I could seek you about it. Oh, come on, saints of God. If you want to find a place, oh, you can break through. You can touch him. You can get a hold of him. He can move upon you.